I asked earlier whether there was an arms race to get versions of AI into our lives, and I suspect there is. My version of AI is better than your version of AI. You can expect the billionaires to be bragging. Okay, so which one do you choose? How do you choose? Well, we go to Arthur Goldstuck. He tells us what to choose, the founder and chief executive at Worldwide Works. I saw you promoting this new research on generative AI, which I think you launched today, Arthur. You're an expert with the book to prove it. Just explain very briefly AI versus generative AI as a starting point.
Good evening, Bruce. That's a very good question because everyone is now conflating the two. AI has been around for 70 years, and it's been getting better and better and being used more and more by businesses as they discover how it can transform their businesses, especially banks when it comes to things like risk management and that kind of thing. AI is crucial, and in cybersecurity, AI is now becoming crucial. And then suddenly in the last year and a half, you have generative AI, which is the ability of AI to create content. And by content, I don't just mean text, but also images, videos, and even code. And that has suddenly, you used the term democratized earlier about fintech, but we're seeing this democratizing AI, in fact. So generative AI is now available to anyone, even on your phone. You now have generative AI in WhatsApp with Meta AI now built into, or at least being enabled in WhatsApp.
I'm in WhatsApp. Okay, I'm going into WhatsApp. Tell me how I'm experiencing generative AI as I look at my messages.
So when you go into WhatsApp, there's an option to enable Meta AI. And suddenly that's like another WhatsApp Tools. Contact that you have in WhatsApp. Mm. And you can do on Meta AI almost anything you can do with ChatGPT or Microsoft Copilot, in terms of the free versions anyway, Google's Gemini, that enables you to generate text, images, and the like. So in WhatsApp, you just go to Meta AI and you ask it to draw you a picture of Bruce Whitfield in a cat costume on the moon, and it will try to create that for you. You can ask it to write a text for you. You can ask it to do a search for you. And suddenly you have all the power of AI within this tool that you're using every day.
Who knew what those little buttons at the bottom of the screen were for? Oh, well, illuminated. Thank you on that particular front. It's quite a daunting process, though. And I think when social media started up, companies went, oh, do we really need this? Do we need to use it? And then some get left behind, some get ahead, some get burned, some get hurt by it. It's quite a, it feels like the sort of a new frontier for companies with which to work.
There's no question about it. And that's partly why we did the research. We wanted to understand how large enterprises are using it, because individuals, small business owners, et cetera, are all experimenting with it, or most of them are anyway. But we wanted to understand whether it was really making a business impact. So together with Dell Technologies and Intel, we conducted a survey among 100 of the country's biggest companies to ask them where they are in their AI journey. And it really was about a journey. So we've actually called this the South African Generative AI Roadmap, because it's almost a roadmap for where companies are going in the use of AI.
Okay, so give me a sense of it. I mean, where are we on this roadmap? If it is a snakes and ladders board of 100 squares, some people will, I suppose, be at the base of the ladder and climb up, and some will get to the head of the snake and slide all the way down. Where are we in the roadmap?
So very interestingly, that's exactly what it enables us to identify, is where the snakes and ladders are going. So we found that something like 45% of companies aren't using it but plan to use it, and only 10% don't plan to use it. And the rest, that's around 45%, are using it, and some officially, some approved in the company, some unofficially, and they call that shadow AI. I was sure you would like that phrase. Shadow AI is when people in a company are using it without permission, unofficially, and sometimes even spending money on it, the company's money, of course. So they need to get it under control to rein in their budgets. But when you add all of that together, 9 out of 10 large enterprises in South Africa are on the journey, either using some form of generative AI or they are considering using it. And then when we ask them where they are in their Gen AI journey, around half of enterprises say they're still just dabbling with it in the public free versions of AI. But when we ask them what kind of AI they're using, it pretty much follows the pattern you would expect, the regular throwing of the dice and moving up the ladders and hopefully not falling down too many stakes. So the vast majority either use it to write content or they're planning to use it to write content. Then comes video creation. And after that, interestingly, comes code creation. So they're using AI to write code for them, but also to fix code and to examine code to see if there are any errors in their code. So suddenly the IT departments of big companies are realizing that this is a massive productivity boost for them.
It's so interesting. Who are the leaders in our market in terms of providing the AI solutions for companies? I described it as probably a bit of a land grab or an arms race, if you like. I'm suspecting that there are lots of people with, I don't know, virtual briefcases or, I don't know, Microsoft Teams calls lined up looking to sell their wares in our market.
Well, this is a really interesting part of our event this morning where we announced the findings. We had Dell Technologies Chief Technology Officer for Europe, Middle East, and Africa presenting a picture of what AI systems look like and what the ecosystem looks like. And what astonished me about that was one chart that showed that in AI use in the cloud, the 8 different levels, or layers rather, 8 different layers of software and hardware. And in each of those layers, there's multiple players, large companies, ranging from Intel through to Red Hat, for example. Some companies you'd never have heard of and some that are household names, all making it possible for each of these layers of the AI system to interact with each other. And then a company like Dell pulls all together. They work closely with Intel in this regard, and they create an AI system that any company can then leverage.
Fascinating. Thank you, Arthur Goldstuck. He is the Chief Executive at Worldwide Works with us this evening on Business Unusual.